Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, at the beginning of this new week, we thank you again for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for each day that you bring to us, and that for those of us who love your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have things for us to do, people for us to meet, things for us to learn. And it's all to do with bringing him glory. So may we do that today, and may we find delight in doing it. Amen. We're reading from Matthew chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And Jesus goes on, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So Jesus is continuing in teaching his disciples. We need to again mark that, not the crowd in general, his specific followers. And he's teaching them how to pray. So in these three sections, which begin with the words when you give, when you pray, when you fast, he's concerned that the disciples are living holy lives, practicing, he says in verse 1, your righteousness. In other words, living out who you are in Christ. And this is why we see that the Sermon on the Mount isn't really about moral instruction or how to live a good life. It's actually how to live out a God's life. And when you are Christ, you have the Spirit in your heart who enables you to produce this fruitfulness in your character and in your behavior, which glorifies him. And not the least of this is the way that we pray. Jesus has already insisted that we do not pray to be seen in public. Neither do we pray to be heard in private by God. We don't just pile words on words so that we're in some way earning our way into God's hearing. God already knows what we need before we ask him. So if these are do nots, how about the do's? What is Jesus saying is the way that we should pray? Now, if I was a betting man, I would actually wager that you have used the Lord's Prayer more in public worship than you have in private worship. Well, it's certainly true of me. And I agree that Jesus is not just talking about using this as a set prayer. He's using it as a pattern of prayer. But it's interesting, isn't it, how sometimes we seem to get things a little bit upside down. This is how you should pray, he says, not what you should pray. And it gets things the right way up. So it starts with God, and the perspective is God first, and then the prayer's about us second. We don't come to God with a shopping list straight off and list all of the things that we want him to do for us. Prayer starts with dwelling on the person and nature of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it talks about his purpose, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's all about his intentions for us, not our intentions for him. Only then should prayer proceed to bring our needs before God. So we know that we are the needy ones who need to be given to. We know that we are the sinners who need our debts forgiven. And we know that we are the frail and failing ones who need leading aright, all of which God promises to do in the way that he deals with us as his children. Many studies have been made of this magnificent plan for prayer, much more able souls than I have been actually able to do that, and I commend those to you to look up. But what I want to do this morning in these final few moments is to focus on what Jesus focuses on. I've no doubt he taught them this plan for prayer more than once, so this isn't just the only time that he mentions it to them. But he's intent on bringing out one thing, what he has said to them to pray about forgiveness. And this is quite striking. In fact, it's crucial because he says, if you look at verse 15, if you don't forgive others their sins, your sins don't get forgiven either. So what does that mean? Does it mean that somehow we earn God's forgiveness by our own? Well, no, we know it cannot mean that because the gospel is a gospel of grace and we cannot earn God's favor or mercy. So what it must mean is then that this is a salvation issue. In other words, that saved people have forgiving hearts. If you don't have a forgiving heart, the likelihood is you are not saved, you are not forgiven. So when we come up against difficulties in life, problems with other people, when they sin against us, how are we to deal with them? Well, what God says we can do in the amazing new life he gives us in Christ is we can reach inside our own hearts and pull this out because God has planted it in us. Here is the fruit of the Spirit coming to light in the way that we live. And even though we are offended and terribly hurt, God says he has placed within us the power to forgive other people's slights against us, something that goes against the nature of fallen man, who always want revenge and to get their own back. Jesus has already talked about showing the other cheek to those who strike you on the cheek, and he's saying that this has to be heartfelt. This forgiveness of others when they have hurt us needs to come from deep inside us, and the only way that is possible is to realize that it is God's work in us which shows in God's work out of us. So we forgive because we are forgiven, but we also forgive because we are forgiving, and we are forgiving because God has given us his Spirit. So that's rather glorious, isn't it? That what you think is impossible to do in your own strength, God says, but I've made you anew, and it's possible to do in mine. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for our forgiveness. We praise you that no sin of ours is counted against us, that Jesus has paid it all because of his shed blood upon the cross, his pouring out of his life. And therefore we ask, Lord, that we might realize more and more this incredible ability to forgive others, even though they do terrible things to us. And we see it sometimes in the lives of those who are tortured for Christ, that they forgive their persecutors. So it is with us. You have placed that same spirit in our hearts. So we ask that you show us how we call on him to bear no grudges and to leave you to judge those who have wronged us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, your Son, we pray. Amen.